Parshas Tzav. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimer. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Tzav es Aaron vezbonov leimer. Command Aaron and his children, saying. And there's an interesting medrash over here. That why does it say over here Tzav es Aaron vezbonov leimer? Why is there an emphasis like on Aaron and his children? The Amleis brings down that all the korbanos in Parshas VaYikra, it never says the word Aaron. It always speaks about Bnei Aaron, the children of Aaron the Kohanim. The whole time it doesn't say Aaron HaKohen. Let the children of Aaron squirt the blood and do this and do everything the children of Aaron. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that you know why God is excluding Aaron from this thing? He's probably angry at Aaron. Because Aaron caused the eagle to happen. He was involved in the eagle, and maybe Hashem doesn't want him involved. So therefore, we hear the pasuk starts off by saying Tzav es Aaron. That's not the union. Hashem is peaceful with Aaron too. Aaron can also do things. The reason why Bnei Aaron, because the Torah says before it didn't have to be the Kohen Gadol, but not because God forbid Hashem is angry with Aaron HaKohen. So Hashem says like this: Tzav es Aaron v'zbonov leimer. Command Aaron and his children, saying, Zeis Teiras Ha'Ela. These are the laws of the Ela, of the burnt offering. Now Rashi says, what is this expression, Tzav, command? Normally, Chumash says, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jews, Emer al Bnei Yisrael, you know, this expression of Tzav is a very uncommon expression. So Rashi says, why does it say Tzav? So Rashi quotes two answers. One is, Tzav is for now and for all generations. And Rav Shimon Rashi says, Rav Shimon Ben Yochai says, that why does the Torah have to say Tzav when there's a loss of money? Like this, when there's no loss of money, people are happier to do mitzvahs than if there's a loss of money. Once there's a loss of money, people are hesitant to do mitzvahs. So Hashem says, Tzav, even in this case where there's a loss of money, you also have to do the mitzvahs. So the commentaries explain, what is the loss of money over here? What loss of money are we talking about? And there's various different answers that the Mefarshim give. One answer the commentaries give is because it says the word Zeis Teiras Ha'Ela. Now an Ela is a burnt offering that the Kohanim get nothing from. Only the hide of the animal they get. But the actual animal is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. So a Kohen might think, you know, I don't get anything out of this carbon. I won't do it with the same zealousness, with the same excitement, enthusiasm. The Torah says, even when there's a loss of money, you're not going to get anything by it. You still need to do this. Another thing is, that why is there a loss of money? Chizkuni writes like this. Because sometimes, God forbid, if somebody did the carbon wrong, they had a foreign thought, they didn't do the shechita right, they didn't do the squirting of the blood right, you have to do it again. So somebody might think there's a loss of money involved, because you don't do it right the first time, you have to redo it. Another thing is, they write, why is this loss of mitzvah, loss of money? Because kohanim are not paid. They're not on salary. They only get commissions. You know, the 24 gifts that kohanim get. But they don't get a salary. Other mefarshim, like the Ramban, Ramban explains this refers to a different concept. Later on in Tate it says that every Kohen, the first day they work in the Beis HaMikdash, needs to bring a sacrifice. A Kohen Gadol had to bring a sacrifice every day. Kohen Gadol had to bring a sacrifice every day. A regular Kohen had to bring a sacrifice the first day he worked. Now that money was your own money. You had to pay out of your own money for that carbon. So the Ramban explains, a Kohen might think, what do you mean? I don't get paid, and I have to spend money yet. I'm bringing a sacrifice to it. So the Sayyid says, Tzav es Aaron v'zbonov leimer. Even then, they should be commanded to do all the things that they need to do.
What kind of carbon they have to bring?
Or carbon? A mincha offering, a flower offering. A Kohen Gadol every day had to bring a similar, it's called Minchas Kohen Gadol. The flower offering of a Kohen Gadol.
This is cheap korban.
But cheap carbon, anything you have to spend from your own money, is people complain about. So now, there's another thing.
So where did they bring it from?
The from their own money.
From where? They're not making money.
The Kohanim were very wealthy.
No, seriously.
I'm serious. Kohanim had all the sacrifices. They had all the truma, a lot of the maaser. They had all the yeshachted an animal, the zrael chayim v'keva, the hands of the animal and the cheeks of.
Stuff?
Yeah, they were able to sell it, and they were able to. The Kohanim says we're very wealthy. Levium were poor. They got nothing. The Kohanim were wealthy. But there's another interesting thing that the Gemara learned out. From the Pasuk Zeis Teira Sa'ila. This is the Teira of the Ayla. And the Gemara learns out from here that whoever learns the laws of Ayla, the laws of sacrifices, is considered as if you brought one. Now the Teira says Zeis Teira Sa'ila. It's not the Torah of the Ola, teaching of the Ola, it's the mitzvah of the Ola. It should have said Zeh Korban Ha'ola. So the Gemara learns out, the Torah is teaching us that by learning the laws of sacrifices, it's considered as if you actually brought it. As we mentioned a number of times, the Rebbe explains the interesting uniqueness of that. Because when you had to bring a sacrifice, you needed to be pure, you needed to do it in Israel, you had to do it in the Beis HaMikdash, you had to be pure, you couldn't do it at night, because there are a lot of limitations when you're allowed to bring a carbon. Yet, if somebody learns here, tonight, the laws of Ayla, even if you're impure, it's considered as if you brought it. So there's an advantage, by the way, of not even being able to bring the carbon Ayla, over the fact that you're over the actual bringing the Ayla. Okay, so now it says that Savas Sarim is born of Lamer. Okay. There's one more inyan that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains besides the loss of money stuff. The Aruch Chaim explains, there's another reason over here why the Torah is using the word Sav, and that is like this. There are laws of sacrifice of daytime, there are laws of sacrifices at nighttime. One of the most complex laws in Torah is the laws of sacrifices. They're very difficult laws. You know, how to do the malika and how to do it through the correct way and how to, what you're allowed to burn at night, what you have to do during the day and the thoughts. And there's so many million details. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, that's why it says tzav, that here you have to be very careful. Kohanim have to be very careful. And he brings down a very interesting thing at the bottom. He says, if you look in Chumash, the only one of the patriarchs of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that Hashem spoke to at night, that it says clearly in Chumash, Hashem spoke to at night, was Yaakov Avinu. It says Hashem appeared to Yaakov b'chalem alayla, in a dream at night, when he wanted to leave Lavan's house. Avraham and Yitzchak, Hashem, it doesn't say anywhere in Chumash, Hashem spoke to them at night. Hashem spoke to them. Yaakov Avinu says, the first time Hashem spoke to him by the dream, you know, with the ladder, was also at night. Okay? So it says, what does this concept mean? This is the concept, what the Gemara says, that Avram instituted Shachris, Yitzchak instituted Mincha, and Yaakov instituted Maidiv. Okay? Or like we said, it's brought down in Sfarim, that the second letter of Avraham is a base that stands for Baker. Second letter of Yitzchak is Tzadik, which stands for Tzaharayim. The second letter of Yaakov is an Ayin, Arvis, for Maidiv. Okay. Now, what is this concept? When did Hashem speak to Yaakov at night? When Yaakov was about to go into exile. When Yaakov was about to go into exile. So Yaakov represents the Jewish people Maariv at night, when it's dark and there's no revelation of godliness and all that. So Yaakov represents the Jews in exile. That's what they represent. So therefore it says that when in Golus, when it's forbidden to bring sacrifices because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so Hashem says, even at that time, Yaakov's role was to keep the Jews existing as a proper nation even at the time of Golus. So why did Hashem appear to him at night, in so to speak, in a dream? Because Golus is likened to a dream. Hayunu kecholmin. The Gemara says, Golus is likened to a dream. And the time of night when it's dark outside, That's when Yaakov had the ability and the power that he should make sure to do this, the David of the Kabbalists, even at the time of Golis in a spiritual sense. So it sounds like this. When Jews, and the message from Hashem is as follows. When Jews do the sacrifices during the daytime, meaning when they're loyal to God in the good times, then they can stay strong with God in the dark times. But if you're not good with God, so to speak, in the good time, how do you expect to be good in the bad times? You know, like we know, the true test of a person's relationship of Yiddishkeit is not when everything is good. You know, okay, Jew says, okay, I have all the money, I have everything, okay, now God, I'll be a religious Jew. But don't start up with me because I don't want to, then I'll be angry at you. You know, I'm not going to be interested in you. It says, even at night, that's the lashon, why it says tzav, which is the concept of zerizus, especially in the time of galus, is the time when the Jews need this additional push to have this thing. Okay, so we said like this, Zoyster Sa'elah teaches us, in addition, that these are the laws of the Eilah, but it also teaches us that whoever learns the laws of Eilah are considered as if they brought it. And he says like this, He ha'Eilah, this is the Eilah, Asher amegdala mizbeach kol ha'layla, that stays on the flame a whole night, ad ha'beik until the morning, ve'esh ha'mizbeach tukabay, and the fire of the mizbeach should be kept aflame on it. Simply, the pasuk means like this. The nighttime in the Beis HaMikdash was when they had leftover sacrifices during the day that they didn't have time to burn during the day, so then they burnt it at night. Okay, that's why originally the Gemara says that Arvis was optional. Might have in the times of the Gemara, in the Gemara there's an argument, Rishonam Gamliel, is it Rishus, is it Chayva? But there was an opinion that there were times that the tefillah of Arvis was actually optional. And we even see this in Halacha today. The Chazan repeats the Amidah of Shachris. The Chazan repeats the Amidah of Mincha. But the Chazan doesn't repeat the Amidah of Arvis. Why doesn't the Chazan repeat the Shemon Esrei of Ma'ariv? Why isn't there Chazor Sashatz at night? So it says in Halacha, very simple. The purpose of the Chazan saying over the Shemon Esrei, it's for those people that didn't know how to daven. Why does the Chazan repeat the Shemoneh Esrei? I mean, everybody daven. What does he need to say it over? What's the purpose of it? The answer is, the original takana was that because there were a lot of people that didn't know how to pray, didn't know how to read, they didn't have sedurim, because everything in those days, everything was by heart. They didn't know how to daven. So when the Chazan repeated the Shemoneh Esrei, and people listened to the repetition of the Amidah, so it was like they davened. Shemeya Ka'ina, it's like they themselves heard it, it was like they said it, so therefore it was considered as if they davened. So the Gemara says, Ma'ariv is optional, so why does the Chazan have to repeat the Amidah for? The people didn't daven, so what? It's optional, they didn't daven, who cares? So therefore there was no need for the Chazan to repeat the Amidah. That's what it says in Halacha. Nevertheless, the Rishonim Halacha says that even though Ma'ariv used to be optional, so to speak, but nowadays, everybody accepted it themselves as a responsibility. In Kabbalah, it says that why is Ma'ariv optional? Why is Ma'ariv Rishus? It's too holy and too great to make mandatory. And it's not because it's lower, on the contrary, because it's even higher. It's so great, you can't even command somebody to do it. That's what Al Chassidus in Kabbalah explains it. Now, Avraham Avinu made Shachris corresponding with the morning carbon. Yitzchak made Mincha corresponding with the afternoon carbon. And Yaakov represents Ma'ariv, which is the leftover thing that we're burning. The Torah says it would burn a whole night on the Mizbech. But if you look over here in the Pasuk says three fires. It says, Hi ha'ayla al-Megda. Megda is a fire. Then it says, Then it says, Ve'esh ha'mizbeach tukabay. That's the second one. And then the next passage says, Ashatechal ha'esh. That the fire will consume. What? You know, it's very interesting. Every time there's a little mem in the Chumash, or a little letter, yeah, all the commentaries explain why. Especially the Baal Turim. This Magda, this little mem, nobody asks, nobody discusses. No, really, you look, they don't discuss this little mem over here. But Derech Agav, while we're on the topic, there is, not only in Kabbalah, but it says in, even in the Midrashim, there's three types of letters. Big letters, little letters, and average letters. Sometimes in Chumash, you see big letters. You know, a big brachis, a big vav, a big... Sometimes you have little letters, right? If you look throughout Tanakh, in the back of one of the Rambam La'oms, in the Laws of Sefer Torah, it goes through the whole thing. There is a whole aleph base in Tanakh of big letters. That means there's a big aleph, there's a big base throughout Tanakh. There's a big aleph, a big base, a big gimel, a big dalet. All the letters of the aleph base you have big. And all the letters of the aleph base you have small. And then you have the average letters, which are all the letters of the Torah. And the back of the Rambam goes through every pasuk, all the, where the big aleph is. The marshal, the first word of Divrei Yamim is Adam. It's a big aleph. Vayikra, the aleph is a little aleph. Beis is a big beis. You know, there's a kol helech al gochay in Parshas Shmini. It's a big gimel. Throughout Tanakh, there's a whole aleph beis of big letters, a whole aleph beis of small letters, and the rest of the letters which are average size, which are all over the Chumash. But this I haven't seen any. I can't say nobody says, but not only now that I look. I looked many times because people ask, why is there a small mem? So you look it up and I don't know. If somebody finds them, I'll be interested. What?
Can be a word without this letter? Can you read it up, down, something like
this? Not that I know. Okay, so why does the Torah use the term here of three fires? Megda, Ve'esha Mizbeach, and then it says, Teichal Ha'esh. Yeah, what are these different expressions? So it says, Takan, the Mizbeach were three fires. There was the Maroch Gdela, and there was the Maroch Ktana, and there was a fire otherwise burning also. And they explain like this. There was a fire on the Mizbeach, the Maroch Gdela, which was called the big setup of the wood. You know, Maroch is the setting up of the wood on the Mizbeach. In the middle of the Mizbeach was a big fire. That was the fire they burnt the sacrifices on. Okay? Then there was a Maroch Shnia Shokteris, is called. When they had to light the incense every day, there was a way of incense, Kteris, every day in the Beis HaMikdash. Where did they get the fire to light the Kteris from? So there was a fire on the Mizbeach, a small fire on the corner. That fire was where they took the light to light to do the Kteiris, to burn the incense in the Beis HaMikdash. And the third one was the Maroch Lekiyam Ha'esh. That was to add wood or the perpetual fire, like Kusun and Esh Tomah, there had to be a constant fire in the Mizbeach. That was the third fire. So that the Torah using three expressions of fire teaches us there were taka three fires. And if you have a look at the pictures of the Mizbeach, you see on the Mizbeach pictures on top, there were three fires. One was the big fire for the Karbanis, one was a smaller fire to light the Ketores from, and one was the constant fire that was lit on the Mizbeach. What?
Hypothetically, if someone now wanted to make an offering to kill an animal,
you're not allowed to. That
would be a sin?
It's a big sin and it's capital punishment. Okay. So this is Amayta Mizbeach called Veisha Mizbeach Tukabei, the fire of the Mizbeach. It says should stays on the fire a whole night, and the fire of the altar should be kept aflame on it. Meaning, the Ramban learns this is a positive mitzvah that the Kohenim had to have a constant fire burning on the Mizbeach. Meaning, the Kohenim had an obligation to make sure there was enough wood on the Mizbeach to burn an entire night. And when we get to the Pasuk Esh Tamid, we'll learn there's a very interesting concept in spirituality about the constant fire. Okay, so next in Pasuk Gimel it says like this. V'lov asher kohen midevad, the kohen should put on his fitted linen tunic, u'michnas evad, and the linen pants, yilbash al besorei, he should wear on his flesh. I'll finish the pasuk and discuss. V'edimis adeshen, he picks up the ashes, asher teichal eishes se'ela mizbeach, which the fire consumed on the mizbeach, v'samei eitel mizbeach, and he puts it next to the mizbeach. Now, when the Torah says the Kohen had to wear his linen tunic and his linen pants, really the Midrashim explained the Kohen had to wear all the four garments. A Kohen wore four garments, like we learned. Kohen Gadol had eight garments. If a Kohen wears less than four garments, he gets killed. If a Kohen Gadol and serves in the Beis HaMikdash. A Kohen Gadol wears less than eight garments and serves, he gets killed. Okay. Well, the Beis Din were killing the Shema, you may remember. But he got this, the punishment was Misa. So it says, why does the Torah only here mention two? He had the mitznefes, he had a hat, he had a gartel. Why does it say over here only two garments? Because really you need all four. Here there's two dinim the Torah teaches us. When it says midevad, it teaches us that the long robe that he wore, white linen robe that he wore, had to fit him. Midei, it had to be his exact measurements. And that was part of the mitzvah. It had to be a certain, it couldn't be too long, it couldn't be too short. If you were tall, if you were short, it had to be a perfect fit. And another thing the Torah teaches us, when it says, Michna Seivad Yilbash al Besarei, he had to wear it directly on his flesh, nothing in between the pants and his body. In other words, it had to be mamish directly on the flesh. No garments underneath it. The actual thing directly on the flesh of the person. What was the Aveda? The Aveda was Vehedim is Adeshen in the middle of the Pasuk. He takes the ashes, okay? Now this is a service that's called Vehedim is Adeshen. Literally, Hedim means you lift up the ashes, because that's what he did. We'll soon learn what he did. He took the ashes and lifted it up. But the Mefarshim explain that why does it use the word Vehedim is Adeshen, not remove the ashes? Because just like Truma elevates the person, harama means to be elevated, this hedim es hadeshen, this cleaning of the ashes, also elevated the kohen to a much higher level. Okay, why? Because what did he do? Now what he did was like this. He takes from the middle fire the coals that were almost ashed, full of ashes, and he takes it and he puts it, he scoops it up a shovelful from the innermost ashes on the Mizbeach, places it on the floor of the courtyard east of the ramp. You know, the Mizbeach had a ramp, so this was east of the ramp. That these ashes must be from the burnt flesh of the offerings is derived from the word, Pasuk says, Asher Teichal Ha'esh, that the fire consumed. What did the fire consume? The animals. So this had to be the ashes of the animal, and he puts it next to the Mizbeach. Okay? Now, this one is to teach that to take the excess ashes from the altar, okay, and you need to put it next to the Mizbeach. The Mefarshim says, what does this do? What is this lesson? The lesson over here is, you take yesterday's worship, and you put it next to today's. What did he do? He took the ashes from yesterday. This was, by the way, the first Avaida they did in the Beis HaMikdash in the morning. When they came into the Beis HaMikdash for the shifts at daybreak, they cast lotteries every day. Who did what? Kohenim were on shift, right? How did we know which Kohen did what? There was actually a lottery system. And the one that won the lottery to do this, the first Avaida done in the Beis HaMikdash was in the morning. They took the ashes from the burnt offerings that from the night, and they put it next to the Mizbeach. Which teaches us the continuity of serving God. You take yesterday's Avaida, yesterday's burning of ashes, and you put it to begin today's Avaida. It actually shows the way you continue, the way good is accumulative. We learned many times in different places, in different shiurim, that good on a neshama is accumulative, and bad ends. When a person lives a life, they go up after 120 years. So every person does good, every person does bad. The bad gets cleansed. It's called Gehenim. Hot washing machine cleanses the evil, and the good stays with the person. Therefore, if the neshama comes down again, not if, when the neshama comes down again, the person has the accumulation of the earlier generation, of the earlier time around. Okay, because good is always accumulative. One day leads to the next. And what's very interesting,
once...
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you remember when you learned the Haggadah, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I'm like a man of 70, so the Arizal writes he was only 18. Well, the Gemara says he was 18. Why did he pick the number of 70? So the Arizal writes because he was the Gilgul of Shmuel HaNavi, and Shmuel HaNavi lived 52, and he was 18, so he said, I'm like a man of 70. Because he had the Kedusha of Shmuel HaNavi 52 years, and this 18, so he was like 70. But the Aveda, the lesson is, and it's a very interesting halacha, by everything else in Yiddishkeit, first comes the night, and then the day. The night precedes the day. Okay? In the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, the night follows the day. In other words, by Kabbanis, you ate the carbon for the day and the next night. It says, by Kachim, the Gemara says, Halayla Heilech Achareyim. So it's really, if you take both things together, it's interesting. Night goes into day, which goes into night. It's whole one continuation, and therefore the concept was to take the ashes from yesterday's Aveda and put it as the beginning of the new Aveda of today's Aveda to show that yesterday is the stepping block, the stepping stone for today's Aveda.
The whole thing with wearing eight garments or whatever, what's the significance of that now?
Well, there are levels in a spiritual sense about the four garments, the eight garments. Every Jew has to be a Kohen Gadol within themselves.
Yeah, but now there's like a requirement or not a requirement?
In a spiritual sense, yeah.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were saying, though, that all the good things we do accumulate, right? In from one global to the next.
Correct.
Why do we learn then that sometimes some of the things we come into a new Gilgal is to rectify something from a previous Gilgal, if you're saying that everything gets contrary?
The evil gets cleansed, but that doesn't mean the good that you didn't do is counted as if you did it.
It doesn't make sense what you just said.
It doesn't make sense. How much you want to bet? For those that don't understand English, I can't help you. For those that understand English, I will explain it. Okay. It says in Kabbalah, that a neshama has to keep coming down until it learns all parts of Torah, Pshat, Remez, Rosh, and Sod, and does all mitzvahs, all 613 mitzvahs. The only exception to this rule, that is all right, is the laws of a king, because there's certain laws that only a king could do, and you can't have every Jew coming down, even in the Gilgal, as a king, right? Because it's only one king per generation. And certain places it says also about Kohanim, because you can't have that many people coming down as Kohanim. So therefore it says, that is all right, that the Kohanim and the kings fulfill the Jews with their obligation. And the source of it is because the Torah says, "V'atem tihili mamleches koyanim." Every Jew is a melech, and every Jew is a koyan, and therefore a melech can fulfill our obligation. Because if we wouldn't have any connection to a king, to being a king can't do our obligation because we have no connection to it. But the fact that every Jew is a melech and a koyan, mamleches koyanim, we are a priestly nation, but melech and koyan. So therefore, it says that the neshama of the Kohanim and the neshama of the king fulfill the neshamas to fulfill their obligation. Okay? Now, But until then, the neshama has to keep coming down until it does all the mitzvahs. Correct? All the mitzvahs of the Torah, all 613, and learn all parts of Torah. One second, let me finish. We're speaking English, meanwhile. When a person comes down, okay, they do mitzvahs and they do avedas. So now the neshama becomes blemished. To use coarse English words, the neshama becomes filthy and dirty, spiritually. Okay? Tumah is a spiritual impurity, of spiritual filth, okay, for lack of a better word. So now when the neshama comes up, the neshama needs to be cleansed for what it did. Evil. Now the neshama is left with the good that it did. But it didn't do all the mitzvahs, it didn't learn all of Torah yet. So for them, the neshama has to come down again to do the rest of them. Understand? To do the rest of them. So the neshama, it's not that because we get cleansed in Gehenna, because we get cleansed in Gehenna, doesn't mean that we rectified or we did what we didn't do.
It comes to fulfill a lacking, something that
correct.
Lacked for
doing right.
or not doing that. Was a,
or sometimes to rectify something, it's to come down to be able to accomplish things that it didn't do the first time around. Or that it didn't do it in a complete fashion, so now it needs to come down, and that's where you get the word tikkun, these crazy Kabbalah words that they use to, in the crazy centers of tikkun. It means that either you didn't do it right, so you need to come down to rectify it, or the, but the neshama comes down because the neshama didn't fulfill its mission the first time around. One second.
But the suffering is not.
Huh?
Because of the previous Gilgul.
No. There's certain things it needs to rectify from a previous Gilgul that it didn't do completely, so now it's rectifying it. Now how do we get into this if you got already?
Wait, so does that mean people that do nothing, no mitzvahs or anything, they chances are in the past they were somebody who did all of them? Or did most of them?
Very doubtful.
No, because you said there's nothing.
The last reading of Neshamas that I did didn't show that.
You said
no, it's not. What?
Yeah,
oh, you might say your husband first, yeah?
No, that's all right.
In Torah, men go first.
No.
Excuse me, yes, sir.
Robert,
it's not right.
In a segue,
he did. His hand was up before yours. What?
I have a little dispute with what this gentleman said. So you're saying that 90% of the Jews, essentially Jewish souls that are here, we're meant to what? Not do mitzvahs?
Didn't say that. Most neshamas today, 99.999999% probably even more nines along the way, are not what's called new neshamas. Neshamas that came down already. Because in today's world, there are certain mitzvahs that we do that they didn't have the opportunity to do in earlier generations. For instance, the mitzvah of tzedakah, people didn't have the ability to do in older generations, in the olden days. The Pasha didn't have. Today, there's much more wealth, if you put it like compared to what it used to be in the olden times. So you can never tell what the particular mission of a particular soul is coming down into the world. And like we mentioned many times, do you know that there are people that are born Jewish? One second. How many times you bump into a person 60, 70 years old and you tell them, oh, by the way, you know you're Jewish? They didn't even know it, right? But there are a lot of people you don't bump into, okay? They could be living in the Midwest. They don't see a Jew for their whole life. They're born a Jew. They die a Jew, right? And they don't even know they're Jewish. Now, just come to think for a minute. Why in the world did Hashem send that neshama down? And Hashem knew where He's sending him. The answer is there's a certain mission. We don't know what the mission is. Hashem knows. There's a certain mission that this neshama has to come down and do what it did. Being not even knowing it's Jewish, but it has a certain mission to do. All this Gilgul neshamas is out of our realm, out of our league. There's a fundamental Kabbalistic doctrine called Gilgul HaNeshamas, okay, that in the Gemara world, it's called in the Nigla world, a lot of people don't agree with the whole concept of a Gilgul. It's a Kabbalistic doctrine from the Arizal, And a lot of the Baal, the Mefarshim of the Gemaras, you know, especially the later generations, questioned the whole concept of Gilgal.
What does that mean?
Of the reincarnation. The whole concept of reincarnation is a Kabbalistic doctrine of the Arizal.
Even though
it's in the davening? Bein begilgul zeh, bein begilgul achir. Correct. But the davening is, not everybody says it in the davening. No. It's not in Tzillim. No, it's not. Is what?
It says about Gilgul.
What's it about Gilgul? There's no telling me. Anyway, in fact, they even ask a question. I know we're going way off, but they even ask a question. Why can't you prove the concept of Gilgul from the Gemara that says Pinchas Elio? It says Pinchas Elio. So why can't you prove Gilgul? So somebody once asked to the Rebbe, I heard myself the way somebody asked the Rebbe the question. The Rebbe answered, no, because in Pshat, it means Pinchas lived until Elio Navi. When it says Pinchas Elio, so I remember the Rebbe was being Menachem Ovel somebody. So that the person asked, Galgal means the rotation of the planets, not the Gilgul of the Neshama.
No, but
Kiryat Shema
Lamita, it's written
in
the
Gilgul.
Same concept.
That's according to Kabbalah davening, not according to regular davening. So somebody asked the Rebbe, how did he live so long? The Rebbe said it wasn't that long. It's a few hundred years, and the people that lived longer.
So you're saying that in the Shema, the nighttime Shema, where you say you forgive
from the... Bein Gilgul, not everybody says that. No.
No,
another Siddurim, it's not there.
So we're reading what some Mikubalim wrote, and then we're repeating, and some people don't say it because they don't believe in it?
Yeah.
Does Kabbalah hold that people's Neshama?
Of course they hold.
No, but you just said something.
I think Kabbalah, it does. We can do Kabbalah. Okay, anyway, we're not doing...
My question, 1 minute. Don't we come back together as a Neshama that's englobing others?
No, no.
That's why we have to make Tikkunim from
no.
Older generation?
Not that I know of.
So when we come back to do Tzedakah, if the older generation didn't do Tzedakah?
So the Neshama missed the Mitzvah Tzedakah is coming back to do Tzedakah.
Gilgul.
Right, that's if you believe in Gilgul.
Oh yeah, I'm saying
if you don't believe in Gilgul, then you come back as an animal, I guess.
You don't come back.
I don't know. And let's go weiter.
Well, a person that didn't know that he's Jewish on life, and he come after in the 20 to the Beit HaMishpat Shel Mala.
No.
He's judged like a Jew, why he didn't make mitzvahs?
God judges, and he only knows how to judge.
He didn't know.
What's my business? How the person's judged? God, that's what he's paid for, God. God is paid to figure out how to judge people. I don't have to do God's job. Okay, v'lov asher koyim midavad, the kohen has to put on this garment and he put on the pants. V'heidim es hadashin shetoichal eisha et oil ha mizbeach. V'samen he puts it eitz ha mizbeach nirz in the mizbeach. So this is part one. Then it says, v'foshet es begodov, he would take off his clothing. V'lov asher begodim achedim put on other clothing, meaning not as expensive as or as new as the first garments. And he would take out the ashes out of the camp when it was too many ashes there. He had to take it out to a pure place. In other words, there was eventually a time that the Mizbech had too many ashes, so they would take out the ashes. The Kohen, who did the taking out of the ashes, which we would call today taking out the garbage, the Kohen didn't wear the regular priestly garments, he would put on other garments. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash, the famous, here, Rashi said, wasn't the mitzvah, it was a normal thing, that you shouldn't take out with a toss a deshin, because when you took out ashes, you get dirty. So you shouldn't get your garments dirty. They bring down a mashu, Rashi says, begadim shebishubem kdeira l'rabbi, the clothing that you use in the kitchen to cook before aprons. You're not going to pour your master a cup of wine with the dirty garments that you wore in the kitchen. So therefore they said, when you take out the ashes, you take out the garbage. But the Gemara says an interesting thing, that Rambam brings down that no Kohen was ever, fell below his dignity to take out the ashes. Moral of the story? Don't hesitate to take out the garbage. Whoever. Okay. I said the Rebbe once spoke a sikha for women. It's a very healthy attitude for women to have b'chlal. It's a very interesting thing. You know, women always complain about their household chores. You know, this, cleaning, that. So the Rebbe said that a home is a mikdash ma'at. A home is a miniature base of mikdash. So the Rebbe said to the women, can you picture that if somebody would have to clean the base of mikdash, would they hesitate in any way to clean the base of mikdash? That would count it as a big schus. They would run with excitement. If a woman, let's say, would be given the schus, that they can clean up the room where the mizbeach is. They would run with excitement to do it. He said, that's exactly what a home is. A home is a base of mikdash. And you should know that when you're doing household chores, it's mamish the chores in the base of mikdash. That's what the Rebbe said. He didn't say it to the men, he said it to the women.
Why men doesn't run after this mitzvah?
Because they don't want to take away the mitzvah from the women. That's the only reason. They don't want to take away the mitzvah from the women. They have such avos Yisrael. They don't want to take away the mitzvah. Huh? Because they had separate rooms. The women were in the base of Mikdash, and there's just notion in the Vaibishal.
What? Levim would not help in this.
No, this Aveda was Aveda of only of a Kohen. Because only the Kohen were allowed to go in the room where the Mizbeach was. The Levim were not allowed to go in there. It was, you know, certain guidelines where you're allowed to go in the Beis HaMikdash. This Aveda was only the Kohen. The Levim's Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash was guarding, singing, you know, various different Avedas like that.
Fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Okay. V'eish al mizbeach tukabei. The fire in the mizbeach should burn. Leisich, but you're not allowed to extinguish the fire. And here's the interesting. There's a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah to have a fire constantly burning on the mizbeach. Leisich, but not to extinguish it. Or be it aleha kein eitzim babeika babeika. The kein would kindle wood on it every morning. This is after the ashes were removed. So the next Aveda was the carbon oil of the morning. So you burn the fire on the Mizbeach. Put the oil on it. And he put the peace offerings on the smoke that it burnt on the Mizbeach.
Didn't participate in the
Korbanot? No. Only by Levim B'duchanim singing. Okay, now, why is the Torah speaking here about Eila and Shlomim? What happened to Chatos? So the Barbanel explains, the Torah doesn't want to talk too much about the Chatos, the sins, the negative. It speaks about the positive things. Eish Tamid Tukat on the Mizbeach Leisichba, a permanent fire shall remain a flame on the altar, and the Mizbeach Leisichba, you're not allowed to extinguish it. There's a Chassidish Shevart, I don't know who the I see one of the Pelech Tzadikim said. There's a Vart like this. Eish Tamid Tukat al Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, and this Bechlal, this is not the Pelech Shevart, but the Mizbeach refers to the heart of the Jew. In a personal Beis HaMikdash that we all have, the Mizbeach is the heart of the Jew. And the Torah says you need to have a constant fire, meaning a constant love of Hashem, and a fire burning of enthusiasm to Hashem, leisich, but never to extinguish it. But there's a Pele Shavar that says like this, Eish Tamid Tukat al Mizbeach, you should always have a constant fire on the Mizbeach, Loi, but all the negative things, Tichbe, you should extinguish. They just cut the word. Like next normally, leisich, but means don't extinguish the fire. But here they interpret it, Eish Tamid Tukat al Mizbeach, you should burn a constant fire, Loi, but the negatives, that's sichba that you should extinguish. But there's a lot to talk about this concept of the Mizbeach being the heart of the Jew, and the Aved of having the burning fire of the Eish, the Ava of Tzimoin, you know, the thirst of Elokus that the Jew needs to have in the Mizbeach. But in order to accomplish this, you needed to take away all the bad, first the ashes. You need to remove the ashes, and you need to clean off the Mizbeach, and then you're able to bring a new fire on the Mizbeach to bring the carbon. because the korban, like we learned, represents the bringing of the nefesh habamis, the animal soul, which is in the heart. You know, the yetzer hara, which is in the heart. And that has to be a constant fire of elukus to be on the mizbech at all times, whether it's day or night. Which means, when things are good, when things are bad, when things are in golus, when things are in geula, it doesn't matter, no matter when it is, there is a positive mitzvah that has to be constantly burning on the Mizbeach. It's never allowed to be extinguished. The truth is, the fire of a Jew can never become extinguished. Because it's so part and parcel of the Jew that you can never extinguish it. And they give a marshal of a Tzura Chalamish, which in English is called the Flintstone, that when you rub it, it creates fire. You know, you rub stones together, it's a Flintstone. So it could be in the water for 10 years. Which is it's sopping wet with water, you know, with coldness. You take it out, you rub it, it still will create a fire. The fire that's inside the Jew is always there. And the Torah says not only leisich be, that it's an aveda to extinguish it, the Torah is saying the fact, leisich be, it will never become extinguished. Because it's the fire, eish tamid, the fire that a Jew constantly has in his aveda of Hashem. Okay,